Hey, you awesome folks. Thanks for taking this journey of discovery with your guide, Keith Haney. You're listening to the Becoming Bridge Builders podcast, your favorite podcast for everything from racial reconciliation to education innovation, justice reform, and leading change in the 21st century. This podcast is for people who love to be challenged with difficult topics, but want practical solutions to solve these challenging issues. Becoming Bridge Builders makes change possible. Each week on the podcast, Keith invites innovative thought leaders to share how they are building bridges in their area of expertise. You will hear breakthrough ideas and concepts that are changing the world. He's featuring guests who are best-selling authors, leaders at Microsoft, entrepreneurs, leading educators, professors, lawyers, and so many more. Listen in to learn how you can be the bridge to the change you are seeking.
My guest today is Dr. Anna O'Connor. Anna, for over a decade, has used her neuroscience-based coaching framework and tools to show elite athletes, teams, and organizations how to mitigate stress and capitalize on their gifts. She is in high demand for private coaching, speaking, and helping teams build a team-first culture and certifying future coaches in her neuro-coaching method. Anna is known for a down-to-earth approach that is both refreshing and inspiring. Known as the Brain Lady, she uses practical common sense solutions around complex brain science to make simple enough for a 10-year-old, engaging enough for an adult. Through her speaking engagements, trainings, and media appearances, she draws a loyal audience of driven, high performers who want actual tools to use when stress is high that lead to positive results that stick. Anna believes that mental and emotional training is a lifestyle that takes tools and skills to go along wherever you go. We welcome Anna to the show. Well, Anna, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's so wonderful to be here. And I've listened to many of your podcasts, and I really enjoy basically just your approach to life and podcasting.
I appreciate that. And that was unsolicited, but your check is in, your check is in the mail.
Not necessary, but I'll take it.
There you go. So I like to kind of warm my guests up with a get to know you kind of a question. So tell me the best advice you ever received.
Great question. Gosh, I'm going to have to go with what my mom told me. One day I came home, I was a teenager and I'd been working at this place, and there was this older woman there, and I could just tell she didn't like me. And it's not like I'd done anything. I didn't think. I just tried to be, you know, friendly and whatever. I was maybe 16. And she just, you know, you could just tell, like she would just sort of be snipey or whatever. And I said, "Mama, this lady, she doesn't like me." She goes, "Really? Is there a reason?" I said, "No, I can't think of anything." She goes, "Well, Anna, not everybody's going to like you." And I was like, wow, what? I mean, at the time, I was like, well, that's not nice. But it was great advice. And I have, you know, it allows you to be who you are and not try to morph to make somebody like you, but to just be yourself. And I definitely pass that down to my kids.
That's so cool. So I'm from Louisiana, and I'm going to do a test here. I'm trying to distinguish your accent. It's either Alabama or Georgia.
I knew you wouldn't get it. I am originally from Stanton, Virginia. It's a small town
really?
In Charlottesville.
Darn, I'm so close.
It has a very strong accent there. And my mom and dad, my mom was from South Carolina. My dad was from North Carolina. But Stanton in itself has a very strong accent.
Okay.
And I'm in Maryland now. I've been here for 30 years. And it's still with me. And when I get around my family and go home and stuff, it gets really strong.
Yeah, mine comes back when I go to Louisiana, too. All of a sudden, my kids recognize, "Dad, you're talking. You're talking funny."
That's, I know. And that's a neat accent, too.
It is.
Kind of like rolls and it's really neat.
We really dive into our French heritage background, so.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. A neat place.
It is a neat place. So tell us something about yourself that most people don't know.
Oh, gosh. I'm a pretty open book. I'm trying to think of what's something that I'm very thoughtful. All right. It's not to put a downer or anything on this. But most people do not, I have three daughters, and most people do not know that I was pregnant with twins before I had any of my kids, my daughters now. I was 7 months pregnant and lost twins.
Oh, so sorry to hear that.
And most people don't know that and are very surprised to hear it. I went through an incredible time with keeping pregnancies. So I've walked that road, and it was a life-changing road, and it definitely deepened my faith and strengthened my marriage.
Wow. Yeah. Those can be those moments where God kind of pours into you and helps you to walk through those.
I had a very immature faith before that. It was always like, well, if you pray and you do the right things, it'll all work out. You know, everything always works out. But then that didn't. And I didn't have the perfect family growing up by any means. I just was very, my mom was very positive in spite of how crazy it was. And I just was always like, oh, it'll all work out. Well, that didn't. And I kept faith. I never lost my faith. I was angry, but it just matured my faith.
Wow, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at your bio, and your bio was really interesting to me, like the people you work with, the list of companies you work with. So tell us your story. Tell us your journey from where you were to where you have gotten now.
Well, I grew up in Virginia, like I said, the youngest of six kids. I had two parents that were good people, but very damaged. And it was a very chaotic, often most of the time scary place to grow up. My dad was an alcoholic and volatile. And I was the youngest, and I just sort of hid would be the best way to put it. And even though I'm pretty outgoing and can talk to anybody pretty much, growing up, I was, and when I get around my siblings, I'm much more reserved and quiet. It's funny. But being the youngest, you know, they protected me, and I didn't speak up, you know, as much. So that formed a lot of my internal dialogue and how I responded to stress, which very little coping skills. It was like, you go to 0 to 10, that was it. Then I met my husband, got married, started trying to have children, and had a lot of trouble, lost my twins, and then God blessed me with three daughters, and it still blows my mind. And so I've gone through so much, and there I was, it was like a holiday, and my husband looked at me and he said, why do you always do this? And I said, do what? I had no idea. He goes, you create this chaotic, horrible experience, and for no reason. And it just woke me up and made me aware that, wow, I was recreating my childhood. Even though I didn't like it, I didn't want it, but there I was recreating it, because that's the way our brain works. Your brain likes what it knows, feels comfortable with, even if it's not what you want and you don't like it. So I started trying to find how to change myself. And I would do great, except when things got really stressful. I would fall back into my old ways and yell and yada, yada. And it wasn't until I found neuroscience and learned about the brain and how you can rewire and change the way you respond to things, and, you know, dial back all the old wires, they're called, or patterns, habits that you have been practicing your whole life, you can change them and reroute to a new way of responding. And it worked. And it changed my life. It changed my family's life. And now I've always been on the front row seat of people's big moments in their life and helped them and worked with them. Just didn't know I was coaching. And once I found this, I want everybody to have this gift of living the life that you were designed to live.
That's so amazing. One question that kind of, as you told your story, stuck in my mind is, we all have that past that we're trying to either avoid or just push down and not pretend it doesn't exist. We love walking around with these faces on that hide and mask who we truly are. First part of the question is, how do we give grace to that person that's behind the mask that we're trying to hide? Because that person needs grace and forgiveness to know that the feelings they have are real and they're not broken. There's nothing wrong with them. So how do you give grace to that little person in you who has all those stored up in them, all the feelings of the past?
That's a great question, and it's part of my process, actually. Everyone has stuff, you know, I say, and like you said, and you have these things that you tell yourself and you believe them and you've been practicing them for however long, and to just like that change them, it doesn't work. And it is about giving yourself grace and compassion and nurturing. And what needs to happen is coming to a place where you can kind of step away from yourself and see yourself. So what I have people do is I have them picture themselves as children. Because usually most of the things that you're telling yourself and stuff were formed somewhere along the line when you were a child. And I might even say, pick an instance, you know, where maybe it was a coach that screamed at you or something like that, a teacher. And I say, now picture that, you know, little boy sitting at that desk in that classroom. Picture him. And I have him fly above him and looking down. So it makes him even more like a smaller person. So that separates. And when we can separate from where the wound actually occurred, we can see ourselves as a vulnerable person that didn't ask to be ridiculed, humiliated, whatever it might be. And then it's easier to give that child the compassion and nurturing. What would you like to say to that child? Well, of course you felt that way. Of course you've been doing those things because you thought this was true. But it's not. It's not true. Look at you. You are so special. I mean, you know, then all of a sudden you're saying this to this child that lives inside of you, and it connects. And doing that over time allows for people to start healing that emotion that was created at a younger date and regaining their power over it.
So oftentimes I think about the emotional things that we struggle with, anxiety, depression, addiction. And a lot of times they, like you said, they come out of a painful past, but those are all very different situations. Anxiety is different than depression, different than addiction, but they may all have a tie. So how do you help people work through those different, let's start with anxiety first. If you're a person who deals with anxiety, what steps do you start with for the anxiety person?
Well, everything I do is based on the brain and the science that's been, you know, studied. And when you drill down, you have four key emotions, and they go from the bottom of your brain: anger, sadness, fear, and then it goes into regret. So if someone is angry about something, but they've never really protested against it, because anger isn't a bad thing. Anger is not bad. People can behave badly and use it in a bad way, but anger is really your only protest emotion. And you are allowed to protest against someone treating you badly. That's okay. And maybe you didn't get to do it then, but you can now. So if someone's stuck in anger, it'll turn into hostility and bitterness. Someone's sad and they haven't worked through the sadness, pushed it down, avoided it, like you were saying, it will turn into depression. And if someone has fear from something that they won't go to, it will turn into anxiety, because anxiety is fear of what might happen. Fear of, you can't predict it. And then regret, if you haven't dealt with your regret, it turns into shame. And shame a lot of times is defined as self-loathing. So that's where like worthlessness and just rejecting yourself. And when I can take people and explain those emotions to them, they can see, wow, I'm stuck in anger. Because they'll try to skip anger and go to sad, and they can't really do it. They gotta get angry and say, that wasn't right. It was not right. And in the end, it comes down to seeing yourself. Of course you regret that you didn't stand up for yourself. Of course. And it makes perfect sense that you didn't, because you were 10 years old or you were 15. Of course you didn't. So all of a sudden, these unreasonable expectations you've been having for yourself, like, well, of course I'm yelling at my kids. It's the only thing I know to do. It all comes into giving yourself grace. You start to heal because you start loving yourself more and seeing where it's all coming from. So anxiety is practicing the problem, let's say. And it's desensitized. The way I would work with anxiety is I start desensitizing them to what is your biggest fear. Working with someone that just had an injury, I said, well, what's worst thing to happen? Well, that it's broken. Okay. So what's the scariest thing about that? Well, if it's broken, then I wouldn't get to play. Well, what's so scary about that? Well, I wouldn't get to play for like 6 months. And what's so scary about that? I'll never get to play again. Okay. So the worst case scenario is you will never get to play again. What's the likelihood of that from an ACL? She's, I guess I will. So we make it this huge thing that probably isn't going to happen. But if it does, then what? You never play again. Then what? You have to know you will be okay. And so then I work with that.
I like that. So since you kind of started, kind of give us your process, because I'm curious. I'm dying to know how you do this, because there's so many people listening going, I can see myself in what you're describing, but what do I do?
Right. Yeah. And I get that. And what happened with me is I was so frustrated because I would think these great things, and I have a huge heart and I love children. And there I was yelling at my own kids. And I was mad that what people would tell me wouldn't work when I needed it. So what happened is I found emotional brain training, and it gets to the core of what the emotion you're feeling is, so that you can heal it. And then all of a sudden you get a whole lot safer. And when you feel safe, you're able to manage what goes on around you. You don't feel threatened. And our brain is wired to feel threatened. It's going around all day long. Am I safe? Am I unsafe? Number one job. So when I found that, it was excellent. However, I wanted something that was easy enough for people like moms, teachers, people in the front lines of life that don't have a background in medicine or science or that kind of background. And I wanted it to be easy enough that you could remember and use it whenever you needed it. So I created the formula is physical power, taking care of your physical health, basically, with one thing I added, And then your emotional power, and that's being able to self-regulate, and the habits of them. Because what I find is people be, you know, like human nature, your motivation to do something is really good at the beginning. Then your brain learns it's just going to stick around. So it's no big deal. It's all good. You're not threatened. It's new. So it kind of resists it. That's another rule of the brain. Your brain resists anything new. So at the beginning, you're all gung-ho and you're motivated and your brain's kind of lighting up like, what's going on? What's going on? Trying to change something? What are you doing? What are you doing? And then your brain goes, okay, I'm okay. I guess you're okay. I'll let you do it. And then it gets kind of boring. So these quick fixes don't work. It's got to be, to create a habit, it has to be little drops, little spoonfuls over an extended period of time with support so that you stay engaged with it. And that's my program. It's you got to know what your physical power is every day. You got to know what your energy power is, and you've got to have habits wrapped around those so that when you are tired, when you are busy, when you are in a bad mood, or you have a broken foot, you still will be able to show up as your best self.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And now a word from one of our sponsors, For Freedom Mobile. If you're using AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, then you're being tracked. Mobile providers collect your location, communications, internet activity, even your financial transaction. They sell that data to anyone willing to pay for it and provide it to the government without a warrant. Switch to For Freedom Mobile, and you won't ever have to worry about big tech or Big Brother tracking you through your mobile phone again. For Freedom Mobile provides secure, unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data for just $29.99 a month, and it includes free internet roaming in over 200 countries. Sign up for the service by visiting forfreedommobile.com and using the promo code BRIDGEBUILDERS to get your first month for only $9.99. See forfreedommobile.com for details, just like the number 4, freedommobile.com. So you gave us a lot there. If I want to hone down to, okay, what's the one key part of that process that I have to master to overcome? Is there something that you say you have to start
here? It's a two-thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like you have this part,
right?
Your head, your brain, and then you have your body, and you need them both. A lot of times people are like, you need to exercise. Well, you need to exercise. Yes. It's six. I have an app that has it all on there. So it's Brain Savvy app. It's free. It's on Google or Androids and iPhones. And it has the physical powers about sleep, sun, hydration, nutrition, movement, and connection. And I added the connection because that's part of your physical well-being. You've got to connect with yourself and others every single day. And I have questions that I ask that are yes, no's. So that's the physical power. If I'm hungry and I haven't slept much, it's going to affect my mood. It's also going to affect my decision-making, my perspective, the choices I make. And people don't think of it that way. They think physical, mental. No, it's all together. So physical affects your capacity and how much stress you can hold at one time. Because when you don't have those physical things taken care of, you're more quickly to snap. When I'm tired, I'm hungry, somebody keeps asking me the questions, I'm going to be like, I don't know, you know, or I don't feel like doing that, or I'm too tired, I'm hungry, you know, whatever it is. So you've got to do that part. It makes you not, and it doesn't help you with clarity and the perspective and stuff like that too. It's all part of the mental side of the brain. And then the emotional power is the part that no one really focuses on when it comes to performance. The emotional power is about regulating. And if you think about it like this, I mean, you can't avoid stress. I mean, it's life, you know, and it's not all bad. I mean, we brush our teeth every day for many reasons. We don't want cavities. We don't want stuff in our teeth, and we don't want to have bad breath. Okay, so that's stress. Oh, I didn't brush my teeth. Oh, I better go brush them. You know, that's good stress. And you want to be able not to avoid stress. You want to be able to say, bring it on. Because I'm going to be okay, because I know what I need to do to be okay. An example, last summer, my daughter went to the beach and we got a phone call. She just left like 2 hours before. We got a phone call and said, my daughter had a seizure. I'm like, she's never had a seizure. I walked down the steps. My husband's going, she had a seizure? And remember how I grew up? 0 to 10, no in between. I hear this, I turn around, I run upstairs and I put my shoes on and I'm ready to charge down there and take over. And I catch myself because it's a habit. My brain, when the stress gets high, check in. I've done it so much and practiced it to it's a habit that it's automatic. And I catch myself. And when I do this, I always start laughing. Because I'm like, oh my God, those daggum wires are strong. And I catch myself and I go, my saying I like to say is slow my roll. Because had I not caught myself, I would have run downstairs, ripped the phone out of his hand, said, we're on our way, jumped in the car, yelled at him the whole way that stop going fast enough. He doesn't care, blah, 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 made up whatever. Because I was scared. And I didn't know how to cope with the fear. So it was anger and control. But instead, I slowed my roll. I went down. Now listen. And I self-regulated the 2 hours to get there. And I didn't add to the problem. And she was fine. It was a fluke. So that is how it can save you and change the trajectory of your own life, the people that are around you, and you can influence them. They're getting ramped up. You can influence them and bring them a little lower. So the main, it's on my app, the two key things to focus on, the physical and the emotional. And I start with the emotional with what's called a quick check. And it's just a head, heart, gut, notice in your body. And that sends a signal to your brain that you are okay. On the release, your brain says, oh, you're okay. You do that regularly. Think of the stress loop going 100 miles an hour like a hamster's wheel. You interrupt that stress loop enough, it'll slow down. It'll stop being the habit. And the habit will become check in. Oh. Slow my roll. And that's how it works.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. You said something I thought was helpful for me, is all stress isn't bad. Because mm-hmm. I think we assume that if I'm having stress, it's bad.
Yeah.
But how can I have stress, whether good or bad stress, and not let the stress cripple me, but still be productive even in the midst of the stress?
Well, just like I gave you that example. Another one is I was talking to a client and something good was happening. Like they were starting something new and it was exciting and they wanted it and it's good. It's a new job and it's stressful. It's all good stuff, but it's stressful too because it's new. You're having to think more. You're having to put yourself out more. It's going to take more energy because you got to learn new stuff. So anytime your brain has to work a little extra, it says, oh, this is the stress. But you can recognize it as, oh, it's just new. When you go away on a vacation, I went down to see my daughter and my siblings, and I mean, every day we had to make all these extra decisions that we don't make normally. what time do we meet? How are we going to get there? Where are we going? What restaurant? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? You know, it's extra thoughts, energy, paying attention. Where am I going? All that adds stress. And if you can first see what it is, you know, just see it. Oh, I'm in a new place. So, of course, I'm going to be a little more angsty, you know, or maybe I'll just, I'm in a new place, slow my roll, be patient. Because patience is the step to regulating your mind, your emotions. Be patient and let the stress, the discomfort, just sit there. Okay. And just breathe, patient, slow my roll. And the thing is, emotions don't last, none of them. They come and they go. The good ones, the bad ones, they come and go. You can't sustain a 10 nightmare emotion but for so long. Your brain will desensitize to it. And that's all you got to do is let your brain desensitize. Oh, everything's okay. Just tell, I'm okay. I'm just in a new place. I'm okay. Interrupt. That's it. It's the easiest thing in the world that no one does. I shouldn't say no one. Few people do. Few people will interrupt that stress automatically and train it to a habit.
I love that. So I'm always curious, what are you working on now that you're really excited about? What projects you have coming, you got in the works?
I am really excited about, I work a lot with, I do work with companies like Under Armour, I work a lot with. And then I also work with University of Maryland men's team and lacrosse team. But I'm also wanting to help freshmen because I do work with so many that get there. And when you're, you know, going away to college is a big transition anyway, or into the military. It's a big transition from living at home. You know, you open the fridge and there's food. Voila, you know. Oh, the lights are on. Voila, you know. So going away and having to be on your own and figure everything out is a huge transition. So I like to get freshmen and equip them with these tools, and I have many, many tools, but those are the first two, so that they can at least show up physically and mentally in tune and ready. And then as they go through their day, start practicing the habit of slowing it down. Your emotions are really fast, and you need to let your rational brain catch up. So by pausing and slowing things down, your brain doesn't just go with the emotion. You need that thought to kind of filter those emotions. Okay, am I really never going to play again? Am I going to figure out how to get through campus to my class? Yes, it's okay. Just slow down. It's okay. So allowing your brain, your thinking brain, to catch up helps. And so I'm working with some athletes on that, and I've tried to make it so it's easy for them to access because everybody's busy and athletes are certainly busy with their schedules. And it's going great. It's really good. I'm getting good feedback.
That's so important. I remember that first year of college was very difficult.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you're going where you know no one. And you've been with people you've always known. I mean, there's so many different things. And today, what I've found is a lot of kids get too much done for them at home. And so when they go to school, they don't even know how to, like, I'm sick. What do I do? I mean, that's a life skill you should know before you go. So I'm into, like, life skills before you go. You know, and if you don't have them, here they are. You know, and we'll work from. But that's one thing. Another thing that I do every October, it's called the Habit Crush, and it's more for like adults. And it's training these habits that I talked about, the emotional regulation and the physical power to habit. And with doing that, you can add a habit that you want to do. Like, I want to have all my Christmas shopping done before December 1, you know, whatever it might be. I want to stay on my budget, or I want to lose weight, or I want to sleep better, whatever it might be, any habit you want to choose. But what it does, it helps people be able to step up every day and show up as their best self. And as the day goes through its normal path, or whatever path it's going to take, giving you tools along the way so that you can manage what comes up. Because I can guarantee you, something's not going to go right. One day out of the seven, something's going to go wrong. It might be big, it might be small. But and I think with the pandemic, one of the things that happened is people got very, you know, at first they were screaming and it was horrible. You know, it's new, it's not what we know. And taking away structure and schedules is hard on people. Those make you feel safe. I know what I'm doing today. I know what I'm doing next year. I know, you know, the planning makes us feel safe, but we learned it can be taken away. You know, you can have the best plan in the world, but it can be taken away. And people did not like that. Now what we've seen is people got used to living in their little bubble. And like when the pandemic, you know, was being lifted and we saw so many fights in public places like planes, and grocery stores and different places, people weren't used to being around the general public and having to adjust. I mean, you have to be able to adjust. And when you're home with just your people, you don't have to adjust much. So I think that's been some people get rigid and learning to be flexible and adjust.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. So what do you think is going to be the outcome for people's mental health post-pandemic?
Oh, it's already there. It's the anxiety is unreal. Unreal. I mean, before the pandemic, 52% of adolescents, this is 12 and under, well, probably 12 to 10, were anxious. 52%, more than half. 33% of college students. You know, that's a third of our population of college kids. Adults, I want to say it was like around 30 something too. I can't remember that stat, but you know, before the pandemic and then after the pandemic, any transition, it's going to go up because our brain does not like change. It will resist it, even if it's what we want. So it's going to go up. What I've seen is getting back into that rigorous schedule that people had before the pandemic has blown people's minds. And they forget they have a choice. It's they forget that they can choose not to do all that.
Right.
And it's hard. I'm not saying it's not easy. It's not hard, but you know, you don't have to play your kids don't have to play three sports. You can limit. You don't want to say you got to only play one until they're like 14, but you know, that's a whole nother story. But, and then with adults, you know, you can, what I find more in adults is the lack of wanting to put themselves out there. They get used to being socially lazy. It's just, I'm fine at home watching TV. It's a one-way conversation. Nobody asks me hard questions. I'm always right. You know, it doesn't take effort. And so people got, I would say, socially, emotionally lazy. And, you know, people learned living together without distractions, whether they were good together or not.
Wow.
And whether they wanted to improve.
It's going to be tough to get back into real life again. Yes.
I mean, are you in back full blown?
We didn't shut down as much in Iowa because Iowa has most of our economy was essential. You can't shut farms down. So
right. So, well, good. Not such a big adjustment.
And we have less people in Iowa. We only have like 3 million mm-hmm. people in Iowa. We have 30 million hogs, but we have 3 million people.
Wow. That's so cool, though. It's so pretty out there.
It is pretty.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So, yeah, it's. I think we're still seeing what will happen. The biggest concern is the education system.
Right.
I could go on a whole tangent. I was a teacher in a former life. I love kids. And I have a daughter who's a teacher now. It is a mess. I'll just put it that way. These kids are not going to be ready. And teachers, God bless them. They are not valued and they are not compensated. It's just a broken system. And now they're just pulling people from wherever to educate because teachers are sick of it.
Yeah,
I think it did teachers in.
I just had an educator in my program not long ago, and he says, it's the only job where you ask a doctor to make $30,000 a year.
And it's the most important.
Right.
These are our children, our futures. I mean, it blows my mind. My daughter, you know, she's a kindergarten teacher. She had to do an internship. She had to do student teaching. She couldn't work or make any money during that time. She had to pay for the gas to get there and back. Any supplies that she wanted to do. And then you pull somebody off the street. I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't get it. And these are our kids. And the reason why it's being looked over and not a big stink, because it's kids.
Right, which is also sad.
Mm-hmm. If there was a hospital that just pulled some, first aid people, or not even that, just some people. Hey, will you faint if you go into an operating room? You think people will be okay with that?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, probably not.
No, I mean, it's important. And anyway, I won't go on, but yes, I think it's broken.
Yeah, it is. It's the same thing. We wouldn't want just anybody playing on our football team either, would we?
Oh, but that's important.
I know.
And I love sports. I love sports. And it's the values are upside down.
Right. We boo the bad quarterback, but we don't boo the bad teacher.
Well, and I was about to say, and if there's a bad teacher, I've talked to my daughter and she's like, you know, I go the extra mile, I do XYZ, and then I see someone else doing the minimal. But guess what? We get paid the same.
Right.
We're appreciated the same. What difference does it make? And see, that's broken. I mean, I remember teaching and I'd see a guy sitting in there reading a newspaper and the kid's sleeping. That's our tax dollars.
I think I've been in that class.
Yeah, that's our tax dollars. There's a problem.
Yep.
Waste of money. So anyway.
So I'd like to ask my guest, this is a nice closing question, is what do you want your legacy to be?
What do I want my legacy to be? Have to be that, gosh, I loved my family. I loved kids. And I tried to help as many people as I could.
I like that.
Yeah.
So where can people find you on social media? And where can they find your website with all your great material on it?
I do have a freebie on my website. And my website is, you got to do the https://. It's kind of gotten weird. I don't know why. I got to figure that out. But you do the HTT whatever. And then it's home.annaocoaching.
Okay.
And then you can find me. I'm usually on Instagram at Anna O Coaching. And you can DM me there. That is, I'm best about that. And then on my website, you can contact me, Matt. You can go on contact and get me there. But and then LinkedIn, I'm Anna O'Connor. And you can find me there.
Well, thank you, Anna. This was a great conversation. Thank you for what you do. And I'm sure in this day and age, with as much stress as we're dealing with, you have a lot of people looking out and reaching out to you.
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm just grateful that I can, you know, be there for them and, you know, always show them that, you know, there's God here and there's bigger things than us and you will be okay.
Well, thank you for what you do. And thanks for being on the show. It was great having you on as a guest.
Thank you. I love your show. It's great.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks for listening to Becoming Bridge Builder. If you enjoyed this episode and want to help support the podcast, please subscribe and share it with others. Post about it on social media or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at @bkeithhaney and on Getter and Twitter at @revheadpin or on his website at alightbreakthrough.org. Thanks again and tune in next time.